KXCI Tucson. You're now listening to the Future of Radio bonus tracks, where youth broadcasters explore lesser-known facts about music and the world we share.
Hello, this is DJ Electric Landfill, and you are on the right track. On the right track, we look at what the artist has composed, as well as what I personally think about the music through lyrics, melodies, and more. This week for Talk Break, I'm reviewing and analyzing the Bright Eyes album, I'm Wide Awake It's Morning. I chose this album primarily because it is one of my favorite albums of all time and one I had not previously done an analysis of. I first heard this album in the car while driving from Phoenix to Tucson on a September night in 2019. I really enjoyed the album for its beautifully intricate and unique lyrics composed by the one and only Connor Oberst. I've heard the album around 30 times since then and has never gotten old to me. Anyways, before I start the analysis, I would like to add a little background to the album. On Wide Awake It's Morning was the idea of two friends, Connor Oberst and Jesse Harris, who met in New York City in mid-2003. Connor Oberst had just moved to New York City from his birth town of Omaha, Nebraska. Both friends shared an interest in music, especially folk, so they decided to make a 70s folk-styled album. Connor Oberst was already in the band Bright Eyes at the time and used this as an opportunity to make a new album. Most of the album was written in the particularly cold winter of late 2003 in Connor Oberst's apartment on a corner of 10th Street and B Avenue. The album, once completed in late 2004, was recorded at Presto in Omaha, Nebraska. The album was then released, along with its sister album, Digital Ash and a Digital Urn, on January 25, 2005. Overall, the album has a very urban, wintry sound to it, according to Bright Eyes' backup guitarist, Jesse Harris. Another thing to mention before we start is that Bright Eyes' songs sometimes don't have one central theme, as some Bright Eyes' songs are just Connor Oberst reciting thoughts or things that have happened to him. His songs are all very personal. The album starts with the opener, At the Bottom of Everything, which starts with Connor telling the story of a plane crashing over the Pacific Ocean. The song starts with Connor talking, without instruments, then transitions into a living song complete with exquisite guitars. I've always interpreted the meaning of this song to be simply accepting humanity and what it has to offer. This is supported by the fact that the people in the song are about to perish in a plane crash and are appreciating life one last time. Despite the dark subject matter, the song is very upbeat and an overall cheery song. However, this isn't done sarcastically. It's done more as a reflection of life and being happy with what has preceded death. The next song on the album, We Are Nowhere and It's Now, seems to be about getting drunk with friends, with many images of bars, laughing, and alcohol. However, halfway through the song, we get these lyrics. I've been sleeping so strange at night, side effects they don't advertise. I've been sleeping so strange, with a head full of pesticides. This seems to be referring to the use of antidepressants and the strange things they do to your head, especially in your dreams. This is also the first song where we hear of a yellow bird, something that occasionally appears throughout the album. We'll get into its meaning a little later, though. The third song on the album is Old Soul Song for the New World Order. This song recounts the story of Connor and an accomplice going to protest against the current war in Iraq at the time in order to take pictures of it. There's an underlying theme of a lack of truth here as well, strangely. On the way home, held your camera like a Bible, just wishing so bad that it held some kind of truth. The song has a relatively calm pace to it, however, towards the end of the song, it erupts into a much more lively and angsty tune. Something touched on more in the album, Fevers and Mirrors, is the concept of sadness and anger spreading. If someone else is feeling negative emotions, you are highly susceptible to them as well. Connor Oberst has seemingly contracted these negative emotions from the protest. This is further hinted at by the reappearance and enunciation of the word wild in this verse of the song. They just go wild. Yeah, I go wild. The fourth song in the album is the song Lua. This song features Connor singing and playing guitar, however no other instruments or vocals are present. This seems to imply a very personal topic. The song also has a very sad feel to it. There are also strong themes of partying and getting drunk or even high in the song. Every verse ends with something positive in the evening having a negative opposite in the morning. For example, what was so normal in the evening but in the morning seems insane. This clearly parallels a hangover. The fifth song on the album, Train Underwater, seems to be about a conversation Connor had with a friend on the Brooklyn Underwater train. He seems to be comforting them about a breakup, with pauses in the lyrics to comment on the scenery outside. Towards the end of the song, he seems to break a little bit, loudly exclaiming, "God damn, you make me cry." I interpret this to mean he is reminiscent of a past relationship, seeing himself in his friend's shoes. After passing the halfway point, we are introduced to the sixth song on the album, First Day of My Life. This is probably the most straightforward song on the album, simply being about a relationship Connor was in and being greatly in love with his partner. The line, "First Day of My Life," implies that Connor feels like a new person with his partner. The song brings the idea of a certain special someone, maybe even a soulmate. This is where the yellow bird from "We Are Nowhere and It's Now" comes back in. The yellow bird seems to be that special someone or lover, someone different for every person. The seventh song on the album, another Chaplin song, is similar to At the Bottom of Everything by the fact that it contains dark subject matter, however with an upbeat melody. The first half of the song simply seems to be Connor Oberst having a bad day. He mentions his regrets, yelling at his brother, and being worried about parking an unlocked car. The next half of the song is about writer's block, and Connor struggling to write a song and deciding to sleep instead. This song seems to be about Connor feeling like he needs to write songs about his regrets but being unable to, perhaps because he doesn't want to bring back those memories. The eighth song in the album is the melancholy tune Landlocked Blues. This song has strong themes of the breakup in it. It seems both Connor and his partner know that a relationship is failing but don't want to leave each other. This puts them in a state of lover's limbo. The line, "If you walk away, I'll walk away," is repeated throughout the song. The state of being lost in a relationship also ties back to another theme in the song, that is simply being lost in life. Connor states in the song that he feels dizzy when he stays in one place, but lost when he wanders. This causes him to wander through different relationships and friendships, and feels like he can't properly connect with people. The second to last song in the album is Poison Oak. Poison Oak, in some ways, seems to be a sequel to Landlocked Blues, with the start of the song seeming to be the end of a relationship. When you turned away, when you slammed the door. After the first part of the song, it explodes in a similar fashion to Old Soul Song, with the quiet and calmish melody suddenly exploding into a much livelier yet angstier tune. Connor remarks that he feels stranded without his partner, which provokes him to return to wandering. The song dies down as he literally bids farewell to the yellow bird, then explodes again, the verse, "The End of Paralysis." Connor wanders off yet again, and then we get lyrical imagery of being drunk at a show. It seems he turned to alcohol as a way to cope with his painfully failed relationship. The tenth and final song on the album is Road to Joy. This song starts with a rendition of Beethoven's Ode to Joy. The song is upbeat, yet steady, occasionally increasing in tempo, but then returning to its steadiness. Towards the end of the song, it explodes into the most lively tempo and melody on the album by far. With the line, "Make some noise," Connor screams the chorus as the song, and in turn the album, crescendos and then falls out. I've always interpreted this song as Connor reflecting on his life and what has come before this random point in it. The song does start with him waking up and greeting the day after all. It seems he's just commenting on his life with the regrets bubbling to the surface. Towards the end of the song, he hints that he wishes he was someone more famous or they had someone else's voice. Overall, I'm Wide Awake This Morning is one of the best indie folk albums of all time. The smooth yet sometimes aggressive melodies mix with the beautiful acoustics and extensively in-depth and sometimes cryptic lyrics mix to create an almost nostalgic sound, even if you're just hearing it for the first time. Anyone that wants to write poetry should listen to this album. Lyrics and messages are far beyond what I can say on air, and the album really needs to be listened to be fully appreciated. Well, that concludes our time on The Right Track. If you want more, be sure to check out The Right Track on the KXCI website. This is DJ Electric Landfill, signing out.